switching topics, and that is this spring, summer, and fall, I want to really make an effort to pass out door hangers and also to get to pray that we are brought to people that want to know about God. Okay? So I want us, though, to look at it as if we are dealing with people that know nothing about God. And why we want to start on the foundations, you know, that's been a big thing for me. And God called me to be the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. I don't think I'm better than anyone else here, but I do think that God shows and leads through the position of the pastor about a direction. And the biggest thing that I feel that we need to look at is how to present God in a relationship way. That God is a God that desires to have relationship with people, okay? And that God of relationship, you don't just start a relationship at the end of the story. You start a relationship from the beginning, and you work through that relationship with them. Some of the truths of the New Testament are great truths that we should be looking at, but there is a context to each one of those truths, and a lot of that context you'll find in the Old Testament, because God is a God that never changes. He just fills us in on more of who He is and His plan. So if we miss the first stages, we're not going to be properly understanding the last stages, okay? We never start counting by going 2, 5, 10, 1, 7, 24, right? No, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, when we count, correct? Why? Because there's a process. There's a building blocks that are being built. And I will say this, is a lot of work and a long time. I started this process with a family a year and probably 4 months ago, and just finished it last Thursday. I just finished the first set of established 101 last Thursday. But I'm telling you, they could explain why they believed they were saved extremely well. And there's no question in their mind that Jesus Christ is the author of their salvation. They understand who God is, they understand who they're trusting, and that's just going to build their faith stronger. Right? We want strong faith. We don't want us to be... Let's look at the notes. Why make disciples foundationally? I'm going to take a couple lessons just on these points. Why make a big deal about going back to creation and starting from creation and preaching to Christ? Why do we believe this? So I'm using the Equipping A book that Dave has given to me in our Establish. And in Equipping A, you will learn experience and be empowered to utilize step-by-step discipling strategy with your gifts within your context. This foundational approach begins with an understanding that our lives are to be lived intentionally. Every aspect of life is to be an instrument for the gospel of Christ, to build the church until it's complete. And that begins with relationship, or build, I should have put build the kingdom of God, because I think there's a local New Testament aspect to the church. And that begins with relationship within each sphere of our lives that are nurtured for the purpose of sharing the gospel. When God brings somebody into our lives, we are working in a foundational way to show them who God is. Does everybody understand that's what our desire is as Christians? We're to be searching for God, who God is bringing in our lives. We are to be praying as God brings people into our lives to for opportunities to explain who God is, to explain who we are, and to explain what God has done so that we can have relationship with Him. That's our desire as Christians. Is it your desire as a Christian to build a relationship with a person for the purpose of explaining the gospel to them. Please, let's not be embarrassed about God. Let's work to that end. Now, within these intentional relationships, we can begin to walk a person through the story of the Bible, beginning in Genesis, focusing on the character of God and his desire for a relationship with mankind. The established lessons tell God's story in a way that brings to life the truths of who God is, who mankind is, and our need of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. The lessons then build on this gospel foundation to establish believers in Christ and empower them to also make disciples. Now, is that not the goal that we should all have in our hearts as Christians? Who would disagree with any of these statements I have made yet? If you have, you're probably not going to say it in front of everybody. You can tell me later. And I welcome people to ask for clarification if they're not understanding something. I would love to clarify. So the question begins, why foundational? I'm not against the Romans Road. Let me make that very clear. I'm not against starting with Christ. I just don't think that that's the best. If you guys want to look at this, look at this, Pastor James, what he's offering as the main tool in your toolbox. Okay, I heard a story of a pastor that went into a person that was on their deathbed and they got saved. Amen for that. And I would start with Jesus Christ and the Romans Road in that case. Everybody understands that? But if you're building a relationship, I encourage you to start at creation. Why? Because Paul says he knows whom he believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep me, to give me his salvation, to keep me until that day that he returns. So as we look at that and we think about this, so many people make professions to people that they don't even understand basically who God is. And if you don't understand who God is, how can you possibly understand what sin is? Because who defines sin for us? Church, who defines sin for us? The Bible, but who else? What person defines sin? If you do anything that's opposite of what that this person wants, it's sin. So who is that person, church? It's God. So if you don't even know who God is, how can you understand what sin is? Our relationship with God is not based on us. It's based totally and completely on God and us repenting and turning to him and confessing that he is worthy of the position of God and we are not worthy of that position. We work so hard for a profession that we skip the process. We don't want to do that, church. We don't want to do that. So, when God wrote his word, he started with Matthew, right? That's where God started, Matthew. So it's why teach foundationally? It's how God wrote his word to reveal himself and his means for relationship with him. From the fall of man to the time Christ came, how many years? 4,000 years. And he slowly is revealing. Now, men were saved in the same way that they're saved today. By grace, through faith. And what were they having faith in? God's one and only way. But God did not show Jesus Christ. You can't find the name of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. You can see the pictures of Jesus Christ all over the Old Testament. And you have to remember that God is revealing himself in a certain way on purpose. He could have, right after that day that he promised the deliverer that would crush the serpent's head, he could, if he wanted to, have set Christ that day, but he didn't. He waited till the fullness of time had come. He did not let circumstances manipulate his will. He did not let emotion manipulate his will. He did not let anything manipulate his plan. Neither should we. I'm very passionate about this. We should not manipulate God's plan in his word. We just sang about following the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus had the New Testament to preach from, didn't he? Now, Jesus had only the Old Testament. We do all realize that, right? Let's turn to Luke chapter 24 if you want to, or you can read it in the notes. Some of the people in the church like to turn in the Bible, so I'll allow you to turn in your Bible if you'd like that. Luke chapter number 24, verses 25 through 32. Why teach foundationally? It's how God wrote his word to reveal himself and his means for relationship with him. Second, it's how Jesus taught his disciples. Luke 24, verses 25 through 32. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Let me stop here really quick. People that believe in baptismal regeneration, people that use John chapter 3 and that water that Jesus Christ is talking about, baptized with water. Let me ask a very simple question. Besides the baptism of John, was there baptisms in the Old Testament? No, there was cleansings and washings. But there was no baptisms in the Old Testament, was there? But in the same chapter of John chapter 3, verse 10, what does Christ do? He rebukes Nicodemus because he says, you're a professor of the law, and you still don't know what I'm talking about. So in John chapter 3, verse 3, if he's talking about water baptism, why would he be mad that Nicodemus doesn't know what he's talking about if there was no such thing as water baptism in the Old Testament? Because he's not talking about water baptism, he's talking about the forgiveness of sins. You know, if we had a basis in the Old Testament and we studied and we did and we looked at how God actually revealed himself through his word, we could understand that pretty easy. And some of these false doctrines that are taught could be shot down pretty quick within our minds and hearts. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory in beginning at Moses? Now, what did Moses write? And where does the Pentateuch start? It starts at Genesis, doesn't it? So if it's good enough for Christ to start at Genesis, it's good enough for us to start at Genesis. I am not trying to downplay people that start in John. I'm not trying to downplay any of that. All I'm saying is, should we not be passionate, and should it not be okay for me to want to go in a direction that Christ went in? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what is Genesis all about? Christ. What is all the Old Testament about? Well, it's about that promise. That promise of who God is. The promise of what he's done so that we can have a relationship with him. starting there. Everybody see that and understand that? We start there. And they drew nigh into the village, verse 28, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said unto one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? So as he's teaching, the inner man is making application. The Spirit of God is convicting and convincing. The Spirit of God is working through God's word. It's okay to share your testimony. I know I've said that I would prefer people not to share their testimony. I think I was a little bit out of line for that statement. I think it's fine for you to share your testimony. But if you want to see heart change, you start with the Word of God. And you start with Moses. And you start... Man, do you know the first two chapters of the Bible show an awesome God? It shows an eternal God. It shows a self-existing God. It shows a all-powerful, supreme spirit, ever-present, everywhere in his creation, yet separate from his creation. It shows one God who is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see all those doctrines in the first two chapters of the Bible. You see a God that is almighty. You see a God that is purposeful. You see a God that is consistent. You see a God that is orderly. You see a God that made us to reflect him, to depend on him, and to submit to him. You see a God in the first two chapters who wants a relationship based on choice, built on love, and that would bring satisfaction. You see that all in the first two chapters of the Bible. You skip so much of the power of the gospel when you skip Genesis. And in that environment of care and love and total surrender of two people, in total perfection, you see how God longs to take care of his creation that he's created. You see the heart of God and that he gave them everything that they could ever want to perfection. God, when he does something, does it perfectly. When God says it is good as many times as he said it in the first chapter of the Bible, and then he ends it, it was very good. You can depend on this. It was a complete, perfect work by an almighty, all-powerful, eternal, self-sufficient God that needed nothing and no one to accomplish his will. Doesn't your heart burn within you when you think of the awesome God from the first chapter of Genesis? Luke 24, verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and this, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So we see we teach foundationally because it's how God wrote his word to reveal himself and his means of relationship with him. We teach foundationally because it's how Jesus taught his disciples. We teach foundationally because it's how the apostles preached and taught. Acts 8:32 through 40 tells us the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. Of course, from Isaiah, the most quoted book in the New Testament is Isaiah. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speak the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that good? He's like, man, this guy, this is unbelievable. Who were they talking about? And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What is he believing? Well, he's heard about God, and he's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's believing a very doctrinal, triunal statement and doctrine that Jesus Christ is God. And he commanded the chairs to stand still, and went they both down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Next, we see it's how truth can match every level of spiritual growth. It's how most people learn truth upon truth. Okay? You learn foundational truths and then more truth. But if your foundation isn't good, what you place on that foundation will be like sand. Make sure the foundation and your understanding of your faith is good. Know whom you believe. Be persuaded that he's able. It's how truth is best remembered, tied to biblical story, making it visual, personal, and concrete. So the established roadmap establishes a foundation discipling making series that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. It provides a step-by-step journey so that all people are established in Christ and empowered to disciple. The various levels of teaching will establish begin with the gospel foundation, then progress to the more advanced truths. You can read this. What the two I have are Genesis to John, gospel foundation, who God is, man's sinful possession before God, and God's rescue plan by repentance and faith through the finished work of Christ. That's what we're trying to accomplish. That's the big picture we're trying to accomplish to establish 101. 102 is Genesis to John, identity in Christ, believer's identity in the finished work of Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Embedded in 102 through 105 is the gospel. What is a disciple? Christ's definition of disciple and how to personally engage with him through the study of the Bible. And then you grow into Acts and Romans, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and you can continue to grow. So the desire of establishes a disciple-making strategy. This version is built on the following scriptures. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Does that mean we want abundant life? We want our faith to be built on a firm foundation. We want to understand who God is, whom we are, and what God has done so that we can have a relationship with him. Colossians 1:6-7 says, which is come unto you as in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is your faithful minister of Christ. So they knew the grace of God in truth. We want to be foundational in our truth. It wasn't by feelings, although feelings were involved. Okay, because I don't want to be too hard. God made us as humans. All of us have feelings, right? But it's his truth that's important. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Power is given to us to go and to teach. To teach the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Observing just the New Testament. Observing all things. Everything that He's commanded you. And He's with us always, even unto the end of this age. He'll never leave us. He'll empower us. So our desire is for every believer to experience this abundant life that Christ promised, so that they are established, rooted, and grounded in Christ. And one key evidence that a believer is established in Christ is that they are truly seeking to make more disciples. We also desire to see this discipling mandate being purposely implemented within every aspect of our church's life. Every ministry in the church should include a purposeful disciple of those involved in the ministry to help them develop and mature into a mature believer. That's what the church is all about, to root us and ground us in truth, amen? So that we're not knocked around by every strange wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness of men. So my question to you, and I'm going to be pretty blunt, who are you praying to disciple? Who are you praying? Some of you mothers say, oh, I don't have time. Well, you have kids that you can disciple. By the way, when you're a mom, the highest calling that you have in life is to be a mom. And to love and to put your life into the life of those kids. Nothing is more important than moms discipling their children. Nothing, not career, not money, not even service to church, is more important than a mom pouring her life into her children. Does everybody understand that, moms? Sometimes we don't give enough praise to point moms in the hard work of raising kids, because every mom knows they get great conversations with 5-year-olds. Look, it's hard work to be a good mom. But you have to disciple your own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Build those foundations strong. See where you can show the goodness of God. See where you can show the faultiness of their character because of sin. And then explain to them the perfect path of salvation that God has given so that we can have a relationship. Why? Because God is love and God longs to have relationship with you. Even when you mess up, even when you don't do right, God has made you Christian and enabled you to have a relationship with Him. By the way, the only thing that's eternal that we work with is people. Everything else is passing away. Moms, don't ever give your responsibility to somebody else. Disciple your children. Build them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think it's probably one of the most thankless jobs in our culture. What do you do? Well, I raise my kids, and I watch my kids, and I care for my kids. You do what? Why don't you just put them in school so that you can make money and have a career and be fulfilled? This isn't going to happen. So moms in the church, especially moms with younger children, you say, who can I disciple like this? Why would you teach me this? Because you have kids that you can disciple and teach from the Word of God. Dads, we have children that we can disciple and teach to the Word of God. Who else? We have people that are lost and dying in this world that need to hear about Jesus, but they need to know who God is. They need to know that they can trust in the Creator of the universe and that He is the one that will care for their life. So why is it such a big deal that I'm pushing teaching foundationally? Because if you don't have a foundation, the house will fall. But if you have a foundation, it will stand. Now, I'm planning to make these messages a little bit shorter so that we can go to our different prayer groups. Men can pray with men. Women can pray with women. And for the specific reason of, yes, I want to pray for the power of God, and we have prayer requests, but I really want to take time that we can pray that God would lead us to somebody to disciple and that we could take it seriously and that God would give us opportunity to share our faith and that we could see souls brought to Him. That's our passion here at Bethel, okay? To bring souls to Jesus Christ. Whether it be the kids that we see running around every Sunday, or whether it be the people on the street that God gives us opportunity to speak. So this whole winter time and even into the spring, our focus is going to be, how would God help us disciple others? How would God help us evangelize others to raise the awareness from His Word of who He is, who we are, and what He's done so that we can have a relationship with Him? All right? So we'll spread out in groups. And seriously, I want names. I want you guys to share in your little group names that you'd like to see God help. And if you don't have a name, that's fine. Pray that God will give you a name and a person that you can speak to and that you can help. Okay? All right. And then the second thing I want to do is I want us to pray for missions. I'm just going to say something. We are dedicated to Venezuela as a church. All right? We give a lot of money to Venezuela, and that won't stop. But God really impressed on my heart that we're going to take a love offering for the church in Belize, Pastor Whitaker's church that he started in Belize. We're going to take a love offering, and he's going to go at the end of February, and we're going to send a check to him to send to that church. You say, why, Pastor? Well, a couple reasons why. Because I think God placed them on my heart to encourage you guys to give a love offering to. Second of all, when our member in 2016, when we had that vandalism that cost $500,000 with the smoke and the Molotov cocktail that was thrown to the wind through the window. I forgot, but one of the few churches that gave was the church in Belize. Now, they're poor, but they gave to us. When I heard that, I said, my, we should be giving back to them too. And so I want us to really sincerely pray. I've talked to Pastor Blanco to give me some things. He's the national pastor there now. To give me some things that he's really wanting to work on. So going forward, we'll take a few times. I don't want to, because we're so committed to Venezuela, I don't want to promise full-time support to a missionary. But I do think that we should give love offerings to other missions when God puts it on our heart. Okay? And he put that on my heart, so I'll be sharing more if I can. He's supposed to email me. I'll be sharing more on Sunday of my desire of where we can help that church specifically. And also, they sent the loaves here, and that's been a good thing for Bethel. So I appreciate that. I just want to show my love and respect. All right? So we'll pray about it, and please give to it. All right? God blesses us when we give, and we should have a heart that wants to give to churches so that they can reach the lost in their city. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We just pray that you would bless us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, prayer request, and then we'll break up into our two.